today.
That we started the week not talking about the government shutdown and who we were going to blame or blast for it. Hope you had a great weekend. Maybe you caught a movie or just got a chance to hang out and caught a good meal with some friends. I hope that happened for many of you. I watched a lot of sports, actually, over the weekend. I saw the Red Sox beat their opponent, who I really thought was going to be there. In the end, the Detroit Tigers. They did it in six, and bravo, they did it in style without a doubt. We're going to let you hear that defining Grand Slam moment coming up in our next segment. And Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos quarterback, went back to Indianapolis to take on the Colts, but he was not triumphant. He won over the fans' hearts in the 14 years that he was there, certainly. But the Broncos did not beat Andrew Luck and the Colts. They lost 39-33. Still, the fans were awesome. They applauded him. They had a little video tribute to him, and that was a nice, nice thing. In the end, they won, and the Broncos were behind from the get-go, and that was probably part of the problem. Speaking of being behind, we are behind on that thing called a budget, aren't we? So how do we come up with a budget? Well, you and I don't come up with a budget, but the people that represent us come up with a budget, and if they don't do it by the middle of December, because that's part of the plan, come up with the idea, get it done, and then boom, it's ready to roll in January, then we got some real serious problems again, and we're talking about more delays, and the clock keeps ticking, and the nonsense continues. Would they dare not have a budget by the second week of January, ultimately by December, heading into the holidays? There are something like 13 conferences going on with Republicans and Democrats to try to figure this all out. There's a joke in there. How many conferences does it take to pass a budget in Washington? We don't know yet because we haven't had one in 10 years. There is some kind of creature that is swimming in the waters of Southern California, taking some people out, and has a likeness to the Loch Ness Monster, if you ever saw any of those fuzzy pictures. I'm going to tell you about that story, too. Plus, a second man has been charged for the dry ice bombs at LAX. What is going through your head when you decide you're going to set off some dry ice as an employee? You're going to do that in the bathroom, and then it's going to end up on the tarmac, too. Not funny. What was the idea? Ground Services Supervisor Miguel Ingenieris was arrested on suspicion of possession of destructive device, that's what they call it, near an aircraft. And he's being held on $500,000 bail. Could face up to 6 years in jail. It was a prank. You cannot prank anymore. And you certainly can't prank at the airport. You work at the airport and you think, oh, let me just explode some dry ice on the tarmac near a plane and let's do it in the employee bathroom, and I don't think it's a big deal. Do you? There's no joking. There's no joking at the airports. And both were made with plastic bottles. And there was a third one, but it didn't detonate. So there's two of them. Two of them are in trouble, in jail, for a prank. Don't think they're going to get off easy. You can claim prank all you want, but there's no pranking when it comes to anything near airports, planes, TSA, any of that. This was no prank. This was a horror show for all of us. You know, the whole bank's too big to fail. I don't think we ever got over that. It's like the relationship you don't get over. Everybody has, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but it seems like every guy I know has one of those. And I didn't get over banks too big to fail. Because I thought they got such a slap on the wrist, and it created this whole atmosphere of, we hate the bankers. And the bankers saying, well, we're not bad guys. J.P. Morgan is coming up with $13 billion they got to pay, $13 billion in fines, related to their mortgage securities business. Remember Jamie Dimon and, oh, we're so perfect, we're not in the middle of the fracas back in 2008? Well, it turns out over the weekend, this is my favorite story that I saw, that a deal was announced on Saturday settling civil penalties with the Justice Department, but they still could have criminal prosecutions, thank goodness. So the Federal Housing Finance Agency sued J.P. Morgan and 17 other banks for faulty mortgage bonds 2 years ago. And Wall Street insider types were upset about the deal, saying that 80% of the mortgages being looked at were actually acquired from failing banks like Washington Mutual and Bear Stearns. J.P. Morgan took over the portfolios at the 2008-2009 meltdown. So some people are saying they're being whacked, but they shouldn't be whacked. And that it's an attack on capitalism. I say that somebody in there knew what they were doing, and they need to be whacked. Because we're the ones, ultimately, that had it dumped on us back in 2008. So bad mortgages and pushing those bad mortgages didn't do anything but sink us and put so many people in economic peril. So I say bravo to that. Some say J.P. Morgan was robbed, and that the only reason that's happening is because they were hypercritical of the government. I don't think so. I mean, listen, that's what I said about bankers. You can't hate all the bankers. But the problem is what happened in 2008, allowing to have what happened in 2008. The bad loans, the loans that were out there giving people loans, making money on the back of other bad money. It was ridiculous. And it killed so many people, those crazy arms and all the nonsense in the mortgage business. And then all of a sudden, whoa, we're in serious trouble here. The government's going to crash. We have to rescue the banks. We have to bail them out. Sorry. I mean, the cold hard facts are, who's bailing you out? Who's bailing me out? This was what we talked about in 2008. 2008 we were talking about. So what's changed? What's changed is we bailed out the banks, but then we didn't put any thing attached to it as far as when it would be paid back and what their accountability was. And people went nuts when there were so many bonuses tied to that money. It's crazy. All right, coming up on the flip side, I'm going to fill in some of those blanks that I set up here on ATN, some of the things that I just mentioned. You'll be surprised about the Loch Ness Monster. I think it's crazy. You got to see a photograph of it. It's radio. Just remember those fuzzy shots you saw. I'm serious. It almost looks exactly like it. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Just like, all right, here we go. Let's just get to the wall, you know. And I don't know. You know, it's just my emotions are getting to me, but you know, it's just a special moment. You know, something I will never forget.
All right, that was the voice of Shane Victorino. Yes, he's the guy who hit the grand slam that made the difference, all the difference in the world for the Boston Red Sox, because they beat the Detroit Tigers in six games over the weekend. And, boy, the Tigers had done so well in that series, as had the Red Sox. I mean, it was a really exciting series. But that moment for Shane Victorino might have just been the highlight of the whole thing, because it was, you know, it's just like one of those, it's one of those moments in slow motion, I think, where gets up to bat. It's a 5-2 win ultimately, and he's the one who lifted them there because they were trailing 2-1, and it was a tight game. And Max Scherzer was the pitcher who was on the hill before that, and Scherzer was so tough and pitched a really, really good game and hung in there. And, you know, when you just can't hit somebody, it's tough. And all of a sudden he breaks that game open. And with the fans, they just go absolutely crazy. And this is, to the fans, this is that continuation of celebrating the city after what happened, I think, at the Boston Marathon. There's a big correlation to the baseball team and sports in general, but definitely the baseball team, I think, more than anything. So he signs, Victorino signs with the Red Sox as a free agent in the offseason. They came off of a last place finish that was their worst in half a century, pretty much. And now they're going to the World Series by beating Detroit over the weekend on Saturday night. They open the World Series on Wednesday night in Boston against the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm sure we have a lot of Cardinal fans listening. It's the team they swept in 2004 to end an 86-year title drought. So this will be, I think, pretty exciting to watch this series. If you're a baseball fan, you'll be watching. Maybe I'm the only baseball fan left. I don't know. As much as I love football, I truly love baseball without a doubt. All right, we're bouncing around here, giving you some of those odds and ends that I mentioned before. And one of them is, I want to make sure I mention this again, the president is speaking in the Rose Garden on Monday morning to address all the problems of healthcare.gov, the website where people are supposed to be able to sign up for affordable health care. Some people have signed up for it, but there are a lot of people that have had troubles with it. And that's been the story of the rollout since October 1st. So that will be interesting to hear how that plays out. Tuesday, the jobs report comes out because that was delayed because of the government shutdown. So what will the jobs report show? I think another big story is the NSA hacking into the former Mexican president's private email, Felipe Calderon. He's not happy. It's, of course, was spewed out in the German newspapers and was picked up from there. Ed Snowden gave it to the German newspapers. And it's just more of the same of the NSA and how deep they were able to get into his network so that they could, with his public email account, they were able to tap into his cabinet and anybody else connected to Mexican politics and what was going on with the drug programs there. And there were just ounces and ounces. Ounces isn't the right word, although it kind of correlates with some of the drugs. Just tons of reports of U.S. surveillance was part of this. And the surveillance of the politicians in Mexico and Brazil apparently went on for a while. The president said he would get to the bottom of that. Remember, in September, the Brazilian president was so upset by the fact that he was tapped into by the NSA, or that it was revealed about that, that he decided he was going to cancel a trip. He was supposed to come to Washington in October, and he said, forget it, I don't want to come. President Rousseff, who took office in 2011, and one of the goals was, one of her goals, was to improve relations with Washington, which wasn't really in existence with the predecessor, her predecessor. So she decided she was going to snub the president because of the NSA's revelation. So more of that is starting to bite the U.S. once again. The Loch Ness Monster is an oarfish that has shown up on the beaches of California at least twice in 1 week. First, an 18-foot oarfish, which apparently has the most bones of any fish in the ocean. Somebody who was snorkeling off of Catalina Island helped pull it into the beach, and it was dying, I guess, or dead. And then another one washed up on Oceanside Beach, and it was 14 feet long, and it's very strange and almost looks prehistoric. It's crazy. Almost looks like, from afar, I'm not kidding you, the loop that you see in the Loch Ness. That's why I keep saying it's like the Loch Ness Monster, because it's a strange sea serpent, and with the big loop in the middle and coming back with the tail. If it were to come out of the water, that's exactly what it would look like. One of those fake pictures that we saw in the National Enquirer when we went by to check out at the grocery store way back when. I don't know. They still might be printing those same pictures. Somebody saw the Loch Ness Monster. There's been a sighting. Well, the cousin of the Loch Ness, the oarfish, is over on the West Coast, and it has some people asking a lot of questions like, what are these fish about, and how big they get? They can get up to 50 feet long. Do you believe it? 50 feet long. Yeah. Speaking of peculiar things, since I'm down that track, I'm going to throw this in. There's some wild things you might see at Walmart, but would you ever think that you would see an alligator? Yep. A 6-foot alligator forced Walmart to shut its doors in Apopka, Florida. They say that it somehow the gator came up to the store's entryway on Sunday morning and stayed there. It caused the automatic doors to open and close. Employees finally locked the door to keep the gator out. And the police officers that came tried to lure the animal away. Customers started to gather and take pictures. And then eventually the alligator took off for the woods. Isn't that crazy? This is what's happening a lot in Florida. And we have lots of listeners in Florida. The gators, because of what's happening with their, you know, their habitats are shrinking. they're showing up more on streets and in neighborhoods, and it's not uncommon, depending on where you live, to see gators roaming the neighborhood somewhere. I would think it'd be a little freaky, though, because all of a sudden you look up and there's, especially there, you get crosshairs with the gator or don't realize it's there. You're not looking around for it, and that would be disastrous, to, you know, as to what freaky, weird thing could happen just because of not realizing that the alligator's there. That's happened to a few people, and luckily there are very few reports of that. Usually it's when somebody's in the water, not so much when they're at their house and the gator's at the front door or on the lawn or, you know, whatever. That's usually not what the where the problem occurs. I mentioned the Indianapolis Colts hosted the Denver Broncos. Our game of the week, we do this thing called Nail the Score. It's a lot of fun. Just two segments on our Wednesday show into Thursday morning, really. It's in the third hour, the last two segments of that hour. You call up and you nail the score. You win all the fabulous prizes from America Tonight, plus bragging rights. The game this week was the Broncos and the Colts. Nobody nailed the score. I thought the Broncos were going to win this for sure. 30-24, 39-33, Indy wins it. And nobody picked there was one person that picked the Colts and actually came close. But other than that, nobody else picked the Colts. Everybody thought the Broncos. It seemed inevitable because they were perfect. Now they're not. So the one loss to Peyton Manning of all things happens when he goes back to his old stomping grounds in Indianapolis. After 14 years, he played for the Colts. A lot of people, you know, they gave him a standing ovation during the warm-ups, and he took off his helmet and waved, and it was a good thing, and it was expected the people there would treat him right because they hadn't really seen him since he left in March at a press conference. That was how he left. So it was an interesting homecoming, I guess, of sorts. Speaking of homecomings, Ted Cruz came back to Texas after 2 months, went to San Antonio in a hotel ballroom. About 800 people greeted him, and he got an 8-minute standing ovation for what he tried to do, his version of trying to shut down Obamacare when the whole budget crisis was going on, tying it to that unsuccessfully. But the people in Texas, or at least in San Antonio, were very excited about what Ted Cruz tried to do. Thanks to Nathan Reeder for his help on the technicals and all of you for listening to America Tonight. Don't you go away. We're climbing the wall. I'll meet you on the other side.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro plant powder, available only at hempusa.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Is there such a thing as gluten-free emergency kits?
Yes. And for celiacs, there is no other than glutenfreeemergencykits.com. If you or a loved one has celiac disease, you need a gluten-free emergency kit to survive. Our kits are natural, non-GMO, low sodium, low cholesterol, soy-free, contain no artificial colors or MSG, and carry the Celiac Spru Seal of Approval. Now get our March Grab and Go Bucket Special for only $29.99 at glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Better foods, better living.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Tonight, in the wings with us, Project 21 co-chair on the amicus brief related to something that we've tossed around here on the show a lot. It is the affirmative action case involving, remember the whole story with Michigan and whatnot, and the U.S. Supreme Court is finally has heard the critical mass information, I guess I'm going to call it that, in this affirmative action case. And Project 21 has been involved, as you know. The whole case is about whether the referendum passed in Michigan to forbid preferential treatment in public employment, education, contracting based on race, sex, color, and whatnot, or national origin violates the U.S. Constitution. Now, as I said, we've talked about this a lot on America Tonight. In fact, in the past, the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, which became Section 26, and we can get into all the specifics of that, but just know the basics of what we're talking about. Sherilyn Harley Laban joins us. She's been on the show before. She's a delight, and she was part of the team that wrote that amicus brief. Sherilyn, this was a very, very big day, wasn't it?
Big day. Big day. And unfortunately, Kate, I was not, as you can imagine, you know, tickets were selling like hotcakes, not selling, but tough to get tickets to actually hear the arguments. And the arguments were from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. today, so just an hour. But a big deal. You know, this is a big deal. And as you know, Kate, because we've discussed this on the show, this is essentially coming just 100 days after, of course, the University of Texas decision, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, this is, you know, this is a big year here for these race-based policies. And it's going to be really interesting. We're actually hosting a luncheon tomorrow. We've got Jennifer Gratz coming to really have a discussion tomorrow afternoon about what happened inside the court, because obviously she was there as well as the executive director of the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, because, of course, Schutte, the Attorney General of Michigan, was arguing the case. So I will be getting kind of a blow-by-blow description from Jennifer tomorrow, but it is very interesting what was essentially the issue is whether a state, whether Michigan violated the Equal Protection Clause by amending its constitution, right, to prohibit race and sex-based discrimination. And the other thing I think it's important to point out to your listeners is that, you know, the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, which you aptly said became Section 26, you know, it received the support of 58% of Michigan voters in 2006.
Mm.
So this wasn't something that was some rogue, you know, initiative that didn't have the support of voters. It did, and it passed by 58%, Kate. But yet, the six Circuit Court of Appeals struck it down. And I find that very interesting that the appeals court did strike it down after so many Michigan voters supported this.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was reading some of the quotes that came out of today's hearing, and
right.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who was the most outspoken justice of all, said this about the
right.
Michigan ban, said it was intended to bring back segregation and appears to have done just that. She went on and she said minorities finally get in and have children. Now you want to do away with alumni preferences.
Can you believe that? I said,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Talking about they finally get in, they're having kids, and then, oh, gosh, we're taking away this right away from their children. And, you know, here, you know, there's something else to what she said. And I this was part of my quote that, you know, our perceptions, you know, this generation's perceptions are very different from, say, the current crew of kids in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the perceptions towards race of the younger generation now, I would dare say, probably vary quite differently from the generation of their grandparents, okay? So with that comes a lot of just shifting changes towards race and preferences. And I've got to tell you, I think the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative and the fact that it had 58% of the vote, I think that is really reflecting the changes and the shift towards race as well as preferences, right? And the
yeah.
fact that, you know, people may view that, hey, you know, maybe it is time to look at these race-based preferences differently. And how about things like making sure that kids are getting an equal education at the elementary and high school level? And how about if we put our efforts into that situation so that the kids applying to college are adequately prepared for the colleges that they want to apply to and the colleges that ultimately they get accepted into. And the way that you need to look at that situation is to start from ground zero, and that's at kindergarten, and making sure that these kids are getting an equal education, Kate. And that's the conversation, my dear, that the left doesn't want to have. Because remember, the left is the one that are saying that school choice is wrong and that, you know, blocking initiatives for charter schools. And I got to tell you, those are the types of initiatives that are making sure that these poor kids are getting an equal education and that they are not stuck in failing inner city schools with decrepit buildings and moldy buildings and lousy books and teachers. teachers who, you know, are loyal to the teachers' unions instead of doing what they can for the kids.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's that film Looking for Superman, Waiting for Superman, and it shows, it illustrates that completely, what you're saying about the Khan academies and the charter schools and how there's nothing but deny, 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 and instead trying to keep a hold of a piece of territory in so many states. Justice Scalia agrees, and he put the 58% out there and said, as you said, the 58% of the state voters approved. He says it's not a racial classification, it's the elimination of racial classification. So you would agree with that, that isn't it time to move forward?
That was brilliant. That was one of my favorite quotes from Scalia. That was brilliant, really brilliant.
Why do you totally agree
with him.
Why do you think it is, Sherilyn, that people, and you know there's people listening to you that are saying, how can she say that? I don't understand. I don't understand Project 21. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they say that? And you've given the reasons why, because of how it's not your grandfather's generation. We have improved in this area, haven't we?
Oh, yes, I absolutely think we have. And I'll tell you, you know, the court kind of laid out the standards very well in Texas. It said, you know, we've got this strict scrutiny standard, right? And you know, what the court has laid out very well is that if the school is going to resort to race quotas, you've got to make sure you've exhausted all other remedies for enrollment, okay? You've got to make sure you've exhausted all other remedies. And so the court has said consistently about the strict scrutiny standard. And, you know, when it came to Michigan, they put it to the voters, right? They put it to the voters and said,
right,
here, you know, here it is. Do you want this or not? Voters said no. Voters said no.
Yeah. Do you think, what's your gut tell you? What do you think will happen here? Because as you know, there's, what, 8 justices on this. Kagan isn't. She's not part of this.
Kagan,
like,
recused herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm going back to that Texas, right, because I think Texas was very, you know, sort of, indicated a lot. And remember, what they did in Texas is they sent it back to the Fifth Court and told the Fifth Circuit, you're going to need to reapply the strict scrutiny standard. What's interesting in Michigan is I'm not sure there's an opportunity there to kick it back and tell them to reevaluate. I mean, it's basically going to be up or down. I think probably that, I think Michigan, if I had a crystal ball, I think Michigan's probably going to win on this one. I do think so. I need to go back and read through some more comments, as much as I can get, because I wasn't there, read through and see, you know, see which way the tea leaves are going, and also get a sense from Jennifer Gratz, who was there, and the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, to see what they thought. I know that she posted on Facebook that she thinks that Michigan will prevail. You just never know. I mean, you know, whenever I say, okay, I think it's going to go this way, it ends up going the opposite way. But I really think that, you know, I mean, as you know, I was part of the amicus brief, and I mean, I've read this over several times, Kate, and I got to tell you, I think Michigan is on pretty strong footing. I really do.
All right, so we'll see how it comes down. Sherilyn, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for spending some
time
with
us. Thank you, Kate. Would love to come on anytime. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food? What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14 by 21-foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register required states.
Delaney at this hour of America Tonight. I always say that this is such a great audience when it comes to shooting me their thoughts through the miracle of the internet. Yep, the busy emailing crew over the weekend. So without further ado, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. This one from Joe, who's listening to us in Illinois. And Joe says, "Kate, I don't know if you know it or not. I know that Jack from Down Under is a frequent visitor to your show, and I hear his DVD reviews. But did you hear about the wildfires in Australia? These happen every so often, and I guess these are pretty bad. They're saying at this point that they might threaten Sydney. And you see nothing but smoke. I have a sister that lives over there, and that's what made me think about it. So I wondered if you had any news on that." Yeah, it's interesting because Jack is usually with us doing the chat thing, and he wasn't this time around because of this, I'm certain. But they're preparing for, they say, some of the worst conditions in decades. They got major fires popping up all over the place, and the biggest, dangerous, most outlying districts are near Australia. But if you looked at a map, you want to talk about a state of emergency, it's insane. Perth and Sydney and, you know, all over the place. It's an unseasonably early start, they say, to the Australian bushfire that's already killed one and left hundreds of people homeless. They on Saturday, there's one area, it's called the Blue Mountains, and which is kind of west-northwest, I guess is the best way to put it, of Sydney. and they said that they had just built a fire line but could not believe how it was being punctured because of the eucalyptus trees, and just gave it this crazy red glow. And if you've seen any video of it, I mean, let me tell you, folks, it is scary. And we talk about the California wildfires and how bad they can be with the Santa Ana winds and whatnot. Ooh, I mean, it is rough going in Australia. We feel for Jack, and we feel for all of our Australian friends. I'm glad, Joe, you brought that up, and it is scary. And this is a time of the year too, where a lot of times tourists bow out and go to that country, and you look at a map, and pretty much anywhere you're seeing a lot of those hot spots are popping up. Here's one from Jake in Austin, and Jake says, Kate, I'm so glad this government shutdown is over, but what are we stuck with now? Budget, budget, budget. How soon do you think it will take them to get a budget in order? Do you think they'll make the next deadline? Are we going to hear the same kind of conversation throughout the Christmas holidays? I would say bah humbug to that. I'm tired of hearing it. The problem is, I don't care if somebody's a Democrat or a Republican, frankly. I just don't understand how we can have that many people on the Hill who can't seem to come up with a balanced budget. It just shows you how we are more polarized as a nation now more than ever. What do you think? Yeah, well, you know, I think you have to come up with a budget. It's inexcusable. And if you have to start in the beginning of the year because people don't agree on what's being cut, what has to happen for the budget to be balanced, what has to happen for the budget, then they got to start, they got to start early instead of waiting until the last second. Now, there were conversations. It's not that there were never any budget conversations or committees, but not the urgency, I think. That's what it feels like anyway. The urgency has to be, okay, we can no longer accept shutting down government, coming up with last-minute items, things we're going to throw into the obstacle course of this. I mean, we have to have budgets, for goodness sake. And the worst thing of all is, how much did it cost to shut down the government versus keep the government open, figure it out? More to shut down the government. So it's more money down the rat hole. If we're bleeding with this deficit, then why do we want to do that? We don't want to do that. So it's stupid. It can't happen. It needs to stop. Absolutely. June says, Kate Delaney, I've heard you talk about 2016. We're talking about the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, maybe somebody else thrown in the mix. But what about the Republicans? You've mentioned Jeb Bush before. You mentioned on the bench Marco Rubio and Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey. Do you really think any of those guys are the ones that end up being the Republican candidate in 2016? Boy, no way to know, because somebody could emerge that we're not thinking about at this point. Last time around, did you think in the end with all those debates that everybody, by the way, I mean, Saturday night had a field day making fun of the debates, but it shows you there was crazy interest in it, and there were so many. I mean, it was insane, wasn't it, how many debates there were? So, to me, the first thing you got to establish is who's the identity of the person that you think can win, and who's that person? If you go back in our history, even though Obama was a freshman senator and he gets elected, very few from the Hill, because they have a long track record a lot of times, even though they've run, a lot of times it is a governor or somebody else with another political connection. Maybe at one point was it somebody in Congress for a short time. So I think Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee, unless she's having health problems or there's some reason that unforeseen that would keep her from running. But I think so. I think that's sort of her give back from the Democrats. And there's people that really want it, so they're already swirling it around. And we know that. That's a known factor. Well, for the Republicans, Chris Christie definitely wants it. So does Jeb Bush. So does Marco Rubio. I mean, they're all poo-pooing it in a way, but they're all interested, trust me. Bobby Jindal's name comes up a lot, the governor of Louisiana, but I don't think he gets it over the three of them. But the Chris Christie, mean, Republicans out there, would you vote for Chris Christie? He definitely doesn't push far enough toward the Tea Party way. He had infuriated a lot of people with the photographs with Obama. He has infuriated a lot of people with the same-sex marriage in New Jersey. So, you know, in New Jersey, he works in a way because his democratically, I think, proportioned New Jersey is, he's a New Jersey guy, and he says what he just says it. He just says what he thinks. And people, even if they hate, even if they're a serious Democrat, they can forgive Chris Christie for some of what he says. I really believe this, says and believes in. But the Republicans, on a national level, I don't know, his brand of moxie, does it really work? And I'm going to say, no, I don't think so. I think I would be surprised if he were the 2016 candidate. Leading up to it, the conversation, of course, absolutely, he'd be involved in it. I think that we might not know who that person is right now. And that person might not have revealed themselves at this point. A lot of times that's what happens. I mean, think of past presidents, even Obama. Obama was popular, was an orator, a darling of the Democratic Party, no doubt. State senator, goes to the Senate 1 year. Boom, then he's president. So people were looking at Obama, but all of a sudden he got elevated because things changed with the landscape. So the thought was, okay, this is your moment. This, you're gonna try. You're gonna go for it. And then that's what pushed Hillary out of the way. This time around, she's not getting pushed out of the way. The Republican would have to be somebody who could really unite, and somebody who has a backbone. But when you have a fractured party, it's tough. I mean, how many strong tentacles are there to the Republican, you know, to the Republican base? A lot of different. You still have evangelicals. You still have, certainly you have the Tea Party faction, just conservative, moderate Republicans. How about a straight up Republican? So, I think 2016, it might not be someone that we think it is. We have the candidates I mentioned, but I think potentials anyway. I think it could be somebody else that we have not met yet. And Ted Cruz would be on the list for some people too, at least in the top 10 anyway. So remember, if you want to get to me, here's the way to do it. Shoot me a note, americatonight.net. Click on contact, and just like that, you're in.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my 2 workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWHEY.com.